Hey, y'all. Welcome to the There Is More podcast. This is actually part two of a conversation we started last week with Deb Alexander. So if you missed that, you might want to go back and check that episode out before you head into this conversation today.
Deb, you reference multiple times that you got a hold of the goodness of the prophetic. So tell us what that means, and then tell us how you've learned to tune in to the voice. Like, who taught you that? How'd you learn it? How does he primarily speak to you? I know, another 12 question.
That's all good.
That's such a good one,
though. All about hearing God.
Yes.
Yeah. So I love the prophetic. And I love the kingdom. I hate it when both of those subjects are misrepresented, because people misunderstand the nature of the king.
Same.
You misunderstand the nature of the king, you will misrepresent his ways every time. And so we're kind of in an interesting place where the kingdom streams, which have a lot of purpose, have a lot of focus, have a lot of strategy, but are missing the nature of the king because they still adhere to penal substitutionary atonement theory, eternal conscious torment, scripture being the word of God, etc. They are missing the nature of the king, and so they misrepresent him as they try to move purposefully. And then we have like the Trinitarian faith, the grace camps, that they've got good theology concerning the nature of the king, but sometimes you can get so blissed out on sonship that you miss that, oh, there's some responsibility too, you know, in the kingship dimension.
Yeah.
So bringing all of that together, and then understanding that the purpose of the prophetic is, if we can take prophetic intel and partner it with apostolic intelligence and apply that with reformational intentionality, that's how we bring transformation. And so within the context of the prophetic, understanding that, man, it may have been misrepresented in the past, and we may be coming out of some awkward seasons surrounding that. But as our lenses get clear concerning the nature of the Father, we will articulate his heart better and better. So I'm excited about that shift in season.
Yeah.
As far as my design goes, I would be a Habakkuk 2:2 style. I will look to see what the Lord will say. And so I'll catch a little snapshot of an image. Uh-huh. And then if I'm wise enough to stop and ask him about it, then he'll talk to me about it.
Okay.
And
love it.
So
somebody
that's my core competency.
Okay.
Deb, somebody who has who says, yeah, I don't think I really hear from God. What would you want them to know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So I would submit to that individual that it's your right to receive communication from the heart of your good, kind, loving Heavenly Father.
Sure.
There's never been a time when my daughter has come and wanted to speak to me where I was silent. I would never do that.
Right.
And so Father is always communicating his heart. I try to stay away from hearing God, because some people see God. Some people feel God. Some people know God. And so some of you who are listening, you're knowers. And so you'll just suddenly know something. If someone says, how did you know that? Your response would be, I don't know. I just know. Well, you operate with infused knowledge. You're a knower. Some of you are very empathetic, compassionate. There are places that you love to go because of how it feels. There are places that you hate to go because of how it feels. Well, you're a feeler. Yeah. Some of you see the pictures, you know, you get daydream, right? Some of you are always thinking about what you're thinking about. Well, you're a hearer, right? And so identifying which one is your primary, and just refusing to agree with any thought that would come and say that you don't get to receive communication from the heart of God. Just dismissing that voice from the table of your soul, knowing that it takes truth to get doubt out of bed, and then just pursuing, just conversationally with Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit, let me feel something from you. And then check and see what emotion pops up that wasn't there a minute ago.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Let me hear from you. Show me a picture in my mind, you know? Just intentionally leaning into those four areas and seeing where you get a response that'll be super helpful.
That's so good. That's really good.
And tell us, Deb, because you have obviously, you know, your core competency has taken you to places that a lot of people will not go.
Yeah, let's go there.
Can we talk a little bit about what God has done from a governmental level with you, and how you've just tuned in to help others? Like, I mean, it's so awesome. Like, I'm like, this is so exciting, because this isn't just for you. Like, he wants everybody on the earth to help in the, it's kind of like you said, we kind of get so lost in sonship, we forget, oh, there's a responsibility here. Mm-hmm. So, and what does that responsibility for you look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that I would begin to answer that by saying that everybody has a place that they were made to operate in their kingdom assignment. And so there are four questions that if you get clarity on, you cannot help but change the world. Origin, where did you come from? Identity, who are you? Purpose, what do you bring to the table? And destiny, what table is waiting for you to show up? Mm, so once you get clarity on those
Wait,
four
can you
pieces,
say that slower?
Yes.
You one more time for the people in the back.
You sing faster than my mind hears.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, okay. I don't want them to miss that because that those are great four questions.
Yes. So origin, identity, purpose, destiny. Mm. Where did you come from? You came from the heart of a good, kind, loving Heavenly Father. Identity, who are you? You're a son, a daughter, a king, a queen, an ambassador, a citizen. You embody the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all these different identity pieces. And all those are just last name. There's some first name identity pieces to every one of you as well. Mm-hmm. And then purpose, what do you bring to the table? What is it that comes easily to you that other people draw from intentionally? Mm. And so, for instance, my three are going to be wisdom, joy, and hope, right? So anytime I meet anybody, I don't care if it's a president or, you know, whoever is checking the groceries out at the grocery store, right? I'm going to be looking to make them laugh, to leave them with a little bit of wisdom to help life be easier going forward and breathe some life, some inspiration into who they are and where they are so that they have hope. I'm aware that, oh, that's what I bring to the table.
Yeah. Wow.
And then where you are, what table is waiting for you to show up?
I love that
question. That has to do with discerning your metron, in the Greek metron of canon or the measure of rule that God designed you for. And so Dan O. McCollum puts it this way, that your prophetic gift works everywhere, all the time, with everyone. But there is a place at a certain time with a certain people group where the gifting within you works at a whole nother level. And that is evidence that you have crossed into your metron. And so for me, that happened with government. As soon as I got around government, specifically my word of wisdom gift went through the roof. And I took note of that. I was like, oh, like this is what it looks like to find your metron because I was made to speak into this arena. Mm. And so another tip for your listeners, you know, if you want to begin to discern where your metron is, you should look through your history and identify both demographically and geographically who and where or where and with whom you have experienced being extended supernatural levels of opportunity, favor, influence, and authority. And that'll be keys to you. Oh, I need to position myself in those arenas moving forward. As Graham Cook says, when you begin to do with intention what you have done through intuition, it is then that you achieve acceleration.
Wow.
And so that's the goal. Find out what table is waiting for you to show up.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all, right? We need to steward our minds. We need to steward our families, our social circle, but then assignment.
Yeah.
Where are we supposed to be? And how do we show up in those places with our kingship highly developed enough that we're the MVP at every table that we sit at?
Hey friends, we are so honored that you are listening. We just wanted to share with you a couple of things that might help you in planning for 2024. We have Father's House, the Bible study. You probably have all heard us talk about that. But we are offering one-day conferences, and we also have a new Bible study that we are coming out with called Whisper that teaches you how to hear the voice of God. It is very interactive. We have had so much fun, and we would love to bring it to your church in the spring of 2024.
Mm. Well, and I think of, too, like, that's where having community is so important because you know, my friends who know me the best, you know, they're in Rachel specifically, you know, is able to speak into those like areas that I, you know, you can have your own blind spot where you don't see, wow, Karen, that is where you thrive or that is where I see, you know, you come alive to purpose and things like that. So I just would think, you know, for people that's kind of key too. But I want to, because I think one, you know, we talk about prophetic, we talk about healing. Those are kind of common topics for us on this podcast. But what we do not talk about much is word of wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's one of the spiritual gifts. Can you tell us what does that look like? How do we know when it's operating in our lives? And what specifically might God be using it intentionally for within kingdom context?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love that question. So what I lightly call the Trinity of Truth is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So knowledge is knowing what is. Understanding is knowing why that thing is. But wisdom is knowing how to take what is and transform it into what it should be. And so the word of wisdom gift is specifically the supernatural apprehension of heavenly strategies that have the ability to transform the current situation into the scenario that it should be. And so the reason that my gifting is in that arena is because God has created me for government. And what is government looking for? They're looking for wisdom. They're looking for solutions. And so therefore, because of my metron, that's the primary design piece for me in the prophetic. And so understanding that not only is there a heavenly solution for every earthly problem, but God is like for getting those to us and through us. Like it's actually his idea, his plan, right? Like we don't have to twist his arm, convince him to, we don't have to, you know, get the devil moved out of the way enough or whatever, you know, it's just, no, we just show up. We're the yeast that the woman, the Holy Spirit takes and works into the dough, which is culture, until the loaf, which is the world, has risen. Everybody's benefited. And so understanding that wherever we show up, oh, we're the yeast of the kingdom. We're here to make things better. And so whatever isn't working, Holy Spirit, what's the strategy? And just begin to tap into that.
So I'd love to hear.
We've been trying to get the yeast out.
Yeah, right.
That's part of the problem.
So I would love to, can you give us an example? Because you, to be specific to the audience so they know, like you actually have had access and have, you know, have opened door to people within the context of the UN. Can you give us an example of when that word of wisdom flow that you know knew, this is supernatural. I'm not smart enough to come up with this on my own. I would love to know like a real concrete example, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes. So probably one of my favorite stories is when the pandemic kicked off and nations began to shut down, like, man, there was a whole lot of issues, especially in emerging nations. And so our NGO got hit up by a nation that was looking for a solution for their schooling issues, because all of a sudden they're going into lockdown. The kids aren't able to come to the schools, but like there's just not internet, right? And so what's the solution for that? So again, my primary gifting is look to see what the Lord will say. And so as soon as that application hits my desk, I get a little picture of Elon Musk, right? And I was like, okay, so that's a clue, right? So what is it I'm supposed to lean into? So I started doing some research and Elon Musk, he has this Starlink thing, right? Which has the ability to send high-speed internet, you know, around. And at that time, Starlink was not far enough along that it could be the solution, but pursuing that path, right? Because it's a treasure. It's it's a treasure map, right? Following that path led us to a solution for a wireless internet capability so that they were able to put them on buses, drive the buses into the neighborhoods, and then the kids were able to tap into the internet. And so that provided a heavenly solution to an earthly problem that allowed, you know, a nation to not slow down in the pandemic, because man, you lose a year of schooling. Now all of a sudden the workforce is delayed by a year. Like it has huge economic implications. But, you know, it's just that simple. My buddy Brian Orme says, we are the children of God, not the adults of God. So the kingdom is simple. If it gets complicated, that's religion, right? So just trusting my core competency. I got a little picture. I followed the trail.
Yeah.
And we found a solution, right? And so that was a word of wisdom. It was a transformative strategy that provided a solution. But, you know, it doesn't come in a big booming voice from heaven, or even a neatly packaged thing. But, man, it's that breadcrumb. And so if we're faithful to follow that out, we're going to find the solution.
Well, and I think a lot of times we don't, like, ask God the question, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to know about this situation with my child in school? They don't seem to be fitting in this place. What do you want me to know about? Like, I don't think we ask the question because quite honestly, I don't think we know we're going to hear him answer.
Oh yeah.
You know? And so I think even just what you're saying about just be still and lean into the ways and the past that you've seen God speaking to you, you know, because those little pictures that alight on you, you know, for the longest time, I didn't know that I was supposed to pay attention to that. I mean, I just was like, oh, that's random that I saw myself calling that person.
Yeah.
When it was the person I was supposed to call because they might have the solution, from this conversation,
Deb, I've heard you say in your preaching, this is a little bit of a hard right turn, but sorry, I just have questions. You've said multiple times, Jesus is the model. Can you share with people what that means to you? And because I feel like I get real upset because I come home from conferences and I'll tell Karen, I'm like, they keep elevating the Bible to this place above Jesus and it makes me nuts. And so, I love the word, but I feel like people miss Jesus so much because they elevate the actual like Bible. And so I love that you say that because I feel that so deeply in my heart. Jesus is the model. So what does that mean to you? To people who have never heard you teach, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So for me, I've gotten to the place, and this has taken, 11 years, but I've gotten to the place where if I don't see it in the original intent, Genesis 1 and 2, in perfect demonstration, the life of Jesus, or ultimate destiny, Revelation 21 and 22, then I'm not going to take that on as a necessary aspect of my life. And so anything that religion has handed me that I don't see in those three tableaus, I'm not going to worry about it because Jesus is the model. Not only did Jesus come to correct the record concerning who God is, what Father is like, but he also came to correct the record concerning who we are and what sonship and daughterhood in the kingdom looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I like to say that you can either agree entirely with Jesus, or you can agree with the entirety of Scripture, but you cannot do both because they do not agree with one another. And I'll repeat that with a highlight because I always get messages after I say that. Please note that I'm saying entirely and entirety.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can either agree with the entirety of Scripture, and that's what we were taught, right? The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God.
Yeah.
Or you can agree entirely with Jesus, which Scripture says is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, right? The Word of God is a two-edged sword, right? And He, that is what that next verse says. In fact, Scripture never calls itself the Word of God. Scripture calls Jesus the Word of God.
That's right.
And so understanding, Jesus is the Word of God, His first name in preeminence. It was not Jesus or Yeshua or Savior or Emmanuel in the beginning. It was the Word.
The Word, yeah.
The Greek word for word is logos. It's where we get logic, the mindset of God. We've been given the mind of Christ. Repent, change the way you think, align with God's thoughts.
Yeah.
And so understanding that Jesus came to correct the record, both backwards and forwards in Scripture.
Yeah.
And so if I see an Old Testament prophet disagreeing with Jesus concerning what Father is like, I'm going to opt to agree with Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, Father really is just like me.
It really is that simple. For people that are listening, I know there's people who are like, oh my gosh, this is so wackadoodle and all that. But y'all, so a perfect example of what Deb is talking about, think for yourself for a minute. It says, no one, in Book of John, first chapter, no one at any time has seen God. Mm-hmm. And yet we know, Old Testament tells me Moses saw God, Abraham saw, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they all saw God. What does that mean when John says no one has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him? What does that mean to you now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And John really doubles down on that in his Gospels. And further on in the Gospel, Jesus himself says, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. So Jesus came to correct the record concerning what God is like. God is just like, Father is just like me, is what Jesus is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we understand, so that's a great contradiction in Scripture, right?
Exactly.
No one at any time has seen the Father, but if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. But Abraham met with God face to face. Moses met with God face to face. Well, which one am I going to agree with? I'm going to agree with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to understand that Moses and Abraham and those guys, they used language to the best of their ability to describe to the best of their understanding the encounters and the experiences they were having with God.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still having an external dialogue with a God that they were getting to know within the context of fallen humanity, slowly remembering what God is like.
Right.
And so I'm going to understand, oh, that's, you know what? The Old Testament, that is foreshadowing. It's pointing to something, but a shadow is a distortion. It's not the real tangible thing. And so I love scripture. It's awesome. I read it every day. I revelate out of it. I love it. But Jesus is the model. Jesus is the word. All of scripture is true. It either reveals the truth about God or the truth about the lies that man believed about God until we're able to fully remember what God is like in the person of Jesus. And so that's what I use as my lens backwards and forwards from Christ. If I read a scripture and it, does it look like Jesus, feel like Jesus, sound like Jesus? If so, that's a beautiful truth about God.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, this is a lie that man believed about God until we could fully remember in the person of Jesus Christ. And so both of those are beneficial to me. Mm-hmm. If I discover a truth about God, oh, Lord, help me to embrace that at another level.
Yeah.
If I discern a lie about what man thought God was like before Jesus, Lord, is that any part of my mindset? Because if so, I want that taken out.
Exactly.
I want to agree with you, Jesus, concerning what Father is like.
Gosh, I mean,
good stuff. A lot of food for thought, people.
I'm sure everybody's like, wait, I need to rewind this 400 times.
Don't write us. We know this is,
we know this sounds
controversial.
I'd highly encourage people to read Bradley Jerzak's book, A More Christ-like Word.
Yes.
And, he beautifully lays out this mindset and, you know, answers a lot of questions that we could never tackle here on the podcast. Yeah. That's a great resource.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Dub, this is just, you know, I mean, I've heard you preach many times, but it's so nice to be on the other side of you and just hear you explain so clearly. I praise the Lord, listen to you, honestly, for the clarity of remembrance that you have and just to share with people the clear revelation of the kingdom. I mean, because it's amazing.
Well,
I mean,
it's really funny because, you know, Jesus says, and I've always been kind of hung up on this, everywhere that Jesus went, he preached the kingdom. And yet for us, we think the mandate is everywhere preach we go is preach, you know, the forgiveness of sins.
Repentance, right.
But he preached the kingdom. Why are we not preaching the kingdom?
Yeah.
And really, I think it's like, it kind of, I think for me, I'm only at the beginning stages of really understanding what that means. Hence, I enrolled in the School of Kingdom. Dub, what would you want them to know about you, resources that you particularly have that might help them to continue to grow in the journey that There Is More is all about?
Appreciate that. So we have a Kingdom 101 Evergreen course that's available at kingdomintro.com. And so people can snag that for free and kind of get their heads wrapped around the perspective that I'm bringing to the table surrounding the original intent and the reestablishment of the kingdom. So that's a great resource. My podcast, The Joe Kingdom Perspective, helps you identify how the kingdom is advancing in the most unexpected of places, in the most unexpected of ways, and through the most unexpected of people.
That's awesome.
I love the Joe Rogan Experience. So we play a clip from one of his podcast episodes, and then we revelate about how the kingdom is advancing in this area of culture, even through pre-believers. It's so encouraging. It'll really give you some hope. And so those are the two free resources from The Cult to the Kingdom. My book is out on Amazon. And it's really about, I loved what you said there. You know, I was taught, go and preach the gospel of salvation.
Yeah.
But as you just pointed out, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
The gospel of the kingdom is there's a heavenly solution for every earthly problem.
Yeah.
The gospel of salvation is just, hey, there's a solution for your sin problem.
That's right.
There's a solution
for
sin.
It's a part of the gospel, but it's just the door.
Yes.
So religion leaves you stuck in the doorway, whereas the kingdom invites you into a whole new world.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's so
good.
Isn't
that good?
Yeah. Deb, will you pray for people who are just dipping their toe into the kingdom and that Jesus could be the model and that just need an infusion of hope? Because I feel like that is what the kingdom brings, is hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. So, Lord, we just thank you for your sons and daughters that are listening to this. Mm-hmm. And Father, I just speak for an increase in the mysterion gift, the understanding of mysteries, the revelator gift, Lord. That as they dig into scripture, as they have these conversations with you, Holy Spirit, concerning these topics, Lord, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened to the truths of the kingdom, the treasure of the kingdom, And Father, I thank you that the kingdom is constantly advancing. Of the increase of your government and peace, there is no end. And so, Lord, even when it doesn't look like it, the truth is that the kingdom is more established today than it was yesterday, and that there's more peace available today than there was yesterday. And so we tap into that peace, Lord. We tap into the joy, and we tap into the truth of the kingdom. Jesus, that we did not inherit a war, we inherited a victory. And we thank you that that your heart and your plan for the world is good. It's for all of humanity to experience your goodness. And so we just agree with that. We align with that as your apostolic people, as your ambassadors upon the earth. And we thank you, King Jesus, for everything that you accomplished. Amen.
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 Thank you, Dub. This was amazing. Thank you so much for listening. If you loved this podcast, we would love for you to share it, first of all, with your friends. Leave a review. It really helps other people find out about us. And anything else you need, you can find it in the show notes. Thanks for listening.